Okay, so we're reading from Luke 8, 26 to 39. It says this, the healing of a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the regions of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him.
I wonder when you've looked at the other side and wondered, what is on the other side? As is our custom, Craig and I went for a walk at Seacliff Beach on Friday. It was a still morning, cold but no wind, and the tide was way out. It's beautiful. We walked on the beach, in the sand. We can't see what's over on the other side. We actually can't see the York Peninsula when we're on the beach. You know, the Gulf of St. Vincent is about 60 kilometres across the water. It's quite a drive to the other side. Stansbury is about 220 kilometres away, or 2.5 hours by car. We see the water, but we can't see the other side. Jesus had been teaching in the villages in Galilee, which was his territory. His disciples are with him. And things are going quite well, really. Large crowds are gathering. And then one day he says to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." This is a huge statement. And we can easily miss its significance. The other side was a technical term, not just about geography, but let's look at the geography just for a little bit. You can see on the map that on the left-hand side is the region of Galilee, whereas the bottom right is the region known as the Decapolis. The Sea of Galilee is 13 kilometres wide, 21 kilometres long, and it's shallow. It's only 44 metres deep. And it's 210 metres below sea level. That's the level of the Mediterranean Sea. That's quite close. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world. Our lowest point in Australia is Lake Eyre, and that's 15 metres below sea level. And this is 210 metres below sea level. Now, the surrounding mountains around the Sea of Galilee are around 400 to 500 metres high above the lake's level. So it's very different to what I envisioned. So Jesus is saying, let's go from the region of Galilee across the Sea of Galilee or the lake to the Decapolis, which is a Greek word for 10 cities. Now this is enemy territory. There are pagan people there, Gentiles, people who weren't Jews. And the Decapolis is filled with pagan temples and cults and violence and wealth. The Jews can't relate to this. The most unclean animal to a Jew is the pig. They can't eat or touch pigs, and pigs are worshipped in the Decapolis. It is the centre for Roman power. There's a legion of 6,000 Roman soldiers there. The symbol for the legion is a pig's head. So to the Jews in this story, this is the place where Satan lived. Nobody goes over to the other side, especially not a rabbi. And Jesus says casually, let's go over to the other side of the lake. It's almost like he doesn't realize it's the other side. So they land in the Decapolis area. Jesus has drawn big crowds in Galilee, but they're only met with one man. The reception committee is rather dismal, so to speak. And this man was desperate. He cried out in torment. He's been rejected and separated from his community. He's wandering the tombs, the cemetery, and again, he is considered totally unclean by the Jews. Jesus asks him, "What is your name?" And the answer is, "We are Legion, for we are many." In the Message that uses the word mob, we are mob. We are legion, and that relates to the legion of the foreign soldiers. And in the narrative, the demons are afraid, and they ask to be sent into a group of pigs. So they rush down the steep embankment and drown. And the steep embankment now makes a bit more sense to us now that we know the geography. But we read this so differently to an Israelite in the days of Jesus. We think of pigs as cute. Seems a bit sad to us, really. Pigs remind us of the movie Babe, for those of us who are old enough to remember that movie. Or at the very least, it's a serious waste of pork and bacon. But to the Canaanites, to those that live in the Decapolis, the pig was regarded as a sacred animal. The pig is the symbol of the Roman legion, Roman power. So the Jews would have read this as a battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And the pigs lose. You know, we could see it as Jesus taking authority over oppressive power. Power that had isolated this man from his community, robbed him of his humanity, of his wholeness as a person. And then we have the people's response, those that were tending the pigs. They share the story. It's a bit of an odd story. I mean, if you were a pig herder, how do you explain a mass suicide of pigs to your boss? So the people came to Jesus and they found the man dressed and in his right mind. But they were afraid. And they pleaded with Jesus to leave them. You know, he's got power, clearly, but he's from the other side. And so they treat him as someone with an agenda. They're suspicious. They're afraid of someone on the other side. The man who'd been healed begged Jesus to let him go with him. He wanted to follow. Now he's desperate in a whole different way. And Jesus said, "No, don't follow me. Stay here. Go tell your story on your side. I'm going back to the other side." And the boat leaves without him, leaves him to share his story. You know, sometimes the followers of Jesus had a difficult time understanding how much Jesus loves the other side. They want to hang out on their side and think they're the best. And we all like to think that we've got it right. But Jesus doesn't have sides. And so demon boy, tomb dweller, chain breaker, Jesus says to him, you're going to be changed. You can be whole again. Jesus loves the other side. It's all his side. Jesus doesn't break it up the way that we do. Jesus is starting to teach the disciples that he's going to let them loose. He's going to be going. But with the Spirit as helper, they will infiltrate the other side as the early church. And in some ways, it's the oddest strategy. Because after Jesus dies and is resurrected and ascends to heaven, there are a few hundred people to share the good news. And if somebody was looking forward around 35 CE in the Common Era and predicting whether Christianity or the mighty Roman Empire would prevail, which would they choose? Would you choose Christianity, where there are a few hundred people claiming that an obscure carpenter lived, died, and rose again to reconcile us with God and with each other? Who would you choose? And today we call our children Peter, Paul, and Mary. And our dogs get called Caesar and Nero. How did that happen? It wasn't financial resources, property, and stuff that did it. It was their presence and their testimony, their sharing of the good news. They became good news for the other side. The world had never seen anything quite like this. In the Roman Empire, people lived in a strict socioeconomic scale, and everybody knew their place, from the authorities to the slaves. And now we have this odd new community, the church, followers of the way, that speak about the Son of Man not coming to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And now the slave is being served food at the table. This is shared humanity. Jesus has come to the other side. In the ancient world, it was better to be a boy baby than a girl baby. Now, in the ancient world at the time, leaving a girl baby out to die was totally acceptable in all social circles. And in this strange new community, Jesus treated women with honour, valued them, included them, invited them. And we see that in the early church. And in the early church, care for widows was one of the marks of the authentic faith. And we read these beautiful words in Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is the first in world literature to love all human beings as equal. This was not just an idea in the early church, they lived it. One more example. Two times in the early history of the church, there was an epidemic where thousands of people died. It could have been smallpox or something like that. And people treated those that were affected terribly. They were isolated, they were excommunicated, they were left to die. But in this strange new community, they cared for the sick, as modelled by Jesus, even at the cost of their own lives. And this played a huge role in the spread of the church. I heard a quote this week that resonated with me. The righteous are those who are willing to disadvantage themselves in order to advantage the community. You know, the good news of Jesus is for everyone, for the whole city, for the whole community. And the mission of the church is not to make sure that things work okay here in this church, inside on Sunday, but we participate in the mission of God beyond Sunday, on Monday and every day. Would we be noticed if we weren't here? Would our community be poorer if we weren't here? What boundary might we need to cross to come in contact with those who live in isolation? What is the other side for us as a community and for us as individuals? I wonder where the Lake of Galilee is for us in our community. You know, there are so many entry points in this story. You know, this story is about us. We are that man that is driven by something within him that is alien to him, outside pressures, issues that we're dealing with. We're caught in a way of living that bogs us down, that stops us from being whole. We can be at the mercy of things that pull and push us. Like him, where we can be enslaved and not able to see what God is offering us. Indeed, the man lives in the tombs, in the place of death, and perhaps we find ourselves there. And yet, like all of us, he also knows something is wrong. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down before him. There's this beautiful act of submission. And Jesus makes him whole. Whole so that he is dressed and in his right mind. This is salvation. This is hope. And then these words of Jesus to him. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. He was best placed to do this. He was whole again. He had hope. He was no longer cut off from society, community, or humanity. We're to share what God has done. Share the love of God to those around us. We're to go to the other side. You know, we often hear about our side and the other side, our side and their side. It sounds like the us and them that we've been talking about in previous weeks. But Jesus seems to say that the whole thing is my side. So go to the other side, that's Jesus' side too. You know, I wonder where the other side is for you. I wonder where you're out of your comfort zone. Where is the other side that God is calling you to? Right now, I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm on the other side, you could say. And it's not because I'm up here. It's because I'm here and my notes are there. You know me. You know I use my notes. The words that are there, I've prayed for the Spirit's leading. They're honed and crafted. They bring an economy of words. So watch out, because they're there. And so right now, those words are calling me because I'm on the other side. It's like this magnet that just draws me together. I wonder what the other side is in our groups, in our connect groups. You know, we've just launched, commissioned our Blessing Others project. What will that look like? What is the other side that we consider together? And what is the other side for us as a church? Who is God calling us to serve? Who is God calling us to share of this ourselves, the hope of God, the love of Jesus, the gospel? And yet I have this sense that it starts with us individually. As we understand what the other side is for us, so we can do it together with others. What is the other side for you in your life, in your home, at your work, in the community, wherever we find ourselves during the week? Perhaps it's a relationship that's broken down. Perhaps a wall's built up and going over to the other side is actually a step of reconciliation together. Perhaps it's a call for someone or a visit for someone. Perhaps it's making a meal, talking with a neighbour. What is the other side? I invite you to think about this week. One thing that is on the other side. Pray about that. What is God calling to us? What is God saying to us? Where is that call to go on the other side? And we remember the invitation and the encouragement of Jesus. And Jesus knew full well all that background when he casually said, "Let's go over to the other side." Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you that you came to the other side. That your love is so high, so wide, so deep that we can't even understand your love. Lord Jesus, thank you for those words, the invitation, the encouragement to go over to the other side. Forgive us for when we are fearful. Forgive us for when we haven't gone to the other side. Thank you that those times and all our sins are forgiven. And Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Show us the other side. Help us to share what God has done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.